Episode 297, How to Handle Frustrations.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Welcome everybody and welcome to your daily edition of the Daily Trigg Podcast of Joy. How are you, my friend? So glad to be here with you on this beautiful day. Today is Wednesday, September 5th. I missed you yesterday. I've been podcasting daily, which I love, but yesterday I just had so much going on. But I'm here today. Welcome back. Glad to have you. Thank you for subscribing. I want to encourage you to share the love. Let everybody know about the Trigg Podcast of Joy, this daily edition of it. Monday through Thursday in English, Fridays in Espanol. And I also want to invite you to join my membership site. Just simply go to davidtrigg.com/membership where you will get exclusive access, video, content, audio, blog posts, and all the rest by joining my membership site in my Gozo Nation, Gozolandia, here with my Gozo Bell, my Gozo Mug, my Gozo Hat. And by the way, speaking of content, make sure you check out my YouTube channel, Facebook, or Periscope. Just type my name and you will see a lot of the videos that I'm doing, daily vlogs and all the rest. So you can stay connected all day, all week to Gozolandia and the Trigg Podcast of Joy. But I want to talk today about how to handle frustrations, how to handle things in life, people in life, places, situations that frustrate you. And kind of to walk you through my own process. So hopefully you can learn a few tips, a few things on how to handle your own frustrations. My guess is that you experience frustration in life. I mean, that's a normal thing. Traffic or bills or parents or school, whatever it may be, we all get frustrated. And I think it's important to understand how to handle that, where it comes from, and what to do. I experienced that. There have been times this month that I've experienced frustration with myself, with others, with situations that I can't change. But at the same time, I've been looking to God's word as usual in Nehemiah, especially chapter 3 and 4, where there was frustration in this one project. They were in the middle of a building project. And of course, I mean, if you ever remodeled a house or even just moved from one place to another, you know that anytime you move or any of that, there's a lot of potential for frustrations. Now, you may be a very easygoing person, very laid back. Maybe you never get frustrated, but so that this may not apply to you, but for the rest of us that do experience frustrations, or we get frustrated, or we get upset, then this is for you. I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were talking about this, and he was saying, well, I don't really get frustrated very often, except for, and he listed like five things. I said, well, it seems like they're not the same things that I get frustrated about, but it seems like we all experience frustrations. So I want to take you to Nehemiah chapter 3, as I said, a very awesome passage where it describes in such a, I think in a very honest way. That's what I love about God's word, you know. It's very honest, very human. It's almost, you sometimes think, wow, was this written yesterday? Is this like CNN? Well, what's going on here? This sounds so normal, I guess, or so real. And I think that's the point. So let me read to you here, chapter 4, actually, of Nehemiah 4. It says, now when Sambalat, and now let me, before I read it, notice all the angry words that are used in these two verses, just in the first few verses. Notice all the times where the writer here, Nehemiah, mentions the word frustration, anger, and rage, that kind of thing, okay? So verse 1, now when Sambalat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burn ones at that? Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, yes, what they're building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads, and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt, and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. So we built the wall, And all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Let me read one more here. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. Let me keep going. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. Okay, hold on. I just lost my place here. There it is. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. Okay, so I'm going to skip down to way down here. It says here in verse 14, And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Here's the key verse. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. So a great story. By the way, this whole thing about the wall, it's nothing to do with our whole immigration thing and the wall here in the U.S. and the border. So that's just, unfortunately, where our minds go, isn't it, these days when it comes to even just the word wall. But anyway, this is a positive wall. This is actually trying to keep the people of God safe. And so this particular project, as I said, it's a rebuilding project. And so all these people were mad. They were the enemies of the people of God. And so, of course, they were mad that this wall was being built because they could no longer go and just abuse the people of God. And so the two leaders were these two guys named Tobiah and Sanballat. And so they were mocking, they were angry, they were making jokes, they were taunting them. And so Nehemiah, who was the leader, he was, of course, offended, provoked. He was also upset. And so what he did is he turned to God and he said, Lord, you get them. We're being despised. We're being offended. We're being threatened. So he said, God, may you not cover their guilt. You go, Lord, because they are provoking you to anger. And it's interesting how we sometimes don't think of God as angry, but God is righteously angry against anything that is against the will of God. He is against evil. God gets angry at evil. It could be your and mine. It could be the evil of other people. It could be the evil of people even that you love in your own home. God is not for anger. He's not for hate. He doesn't stand for that. He is provoked to anger, it says in here, when he sees injustices being done to the people of God, to his people. And I'm not talking about just the Jewish nation. I'm talking about all of us who know him, who follow Jesus, who are people that are trying to do good in the world. And so the second thing that then Nehemiah does after that, he rallies the people. And so it says here that they put their feet to the ground, and they began to work once again. They got rid of all this discouragement and all this fear and all these threats because they knew God was going to do his thing, and they kept going. But then it says that these enemies plotted again a second time. This happened many times to confuse them. And so once again, they prayed. And this time Nehemiah came up with a plan to put half the people at the wall to protect them, and then half the people to just work on the actual wall. And so, as I said there, the last verse that I read is really the one where he says, do not be afraid. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord who is great. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And he will. And then he says, fight for your brothers. And then it says here that when the people heard that God was going to frustrate the plans of their enemies, they all returned to the wall, back to their work. And they labored and they worked hard. And it says, in another version, it says that they were encouraged by these words. Their spirits were lifted. You know, they were down. They were afraid. They were concerned. They were afraid they were going to be attacked. And, you know, when you're in the middle of a construction project, you're kind of vulnerable because your walls are open. You're working hard. You don't have all your systems in place. And so you can imagine, it was a very, very, very vulnerable time, perilous time. And yet God frustrated the plans of their enemies, and they all returned to the wall, back to their work, and they were encouraged, and they were able to finish the project. And so I want to draw from that two examples in case you feel like you also are trying to do something great in your life, build your body, maybe build your career back up. Perhaps you've been through a season of where you feel like you're vulnerable and you're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to build your relationships back up. Maybe you're trying to figure out your schooling, your life. You might be retired, and so you're trying to figure out how to do things right. And yet, even maybe your own family members or people are coming against your friends, so-called friends, maybe wolves in sheep's clothing are coming against you, and you are getting mad, and yet you don't want to. You don't want to return, you know, you don't want to be an eye for an eye kind of person, and yet you don't know what to do. I want to give you two tips. Number one is give the justice over to God. Give the justice over to God. Let me just say something that's, I think, very important. It's not of God, just from what I see here and from what I read everywhere in the scripture, to let people abuse you. It's not of God to just simply stand still. When Nehemiah is trying to do this thing, he gets upset at his enemies. He gets mad. He's even, again, calling upon God to be mad and to not blot out their sins. I mean, have you ever prayed to God to not forgive someone? Have you ever said, God, don't forgive my son. Don't forgive my parents. No, of course not. You do that in anger, right? But it's in the Bible because being frustrated when someone is attacking your life, your work, your plans that you believe are from God, it is frustrating. Being angry is not a sin. Going and taking justice or matters into your own hands, that's what's not right. And that's what happens to many of us. It's happened to me. That's happened to me. That's happened to all of us. When you cross that line, even if it's just for a second, and you think, okay, I went too far. Right? Let's be honest here. That's happened to me. It's happened to all of us. When you say the wrong thing, or you email in anger, you know, you email back in anger. Or, obviously, there are those great times where you hold back. Well, what is the right approach? Well, it's always to give the justice over to God. Now, this is a common example, practical example, I mean to say. A few months ago, we went out to Arizona and our car died, basically. So we had to rent a car. And so the insurance said, oh, don't worry, we'll cover it. It was like $800 for the whole week. So we had to rent the car for a whole week and all this stuff. Well, they only gave us, what, $200 instead of the whole $800? Okay, it's tough to just pray, right? And say, God, I give the justice over to you. You want the refund. You want the full refund. You want to get what they said you should get, what the warranty and all this stuff is supposed to do. What do you do? Well, I'm not saying that you pray or that you let people walk all over you. Meaning, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray. Of course we should pray. I'm not saying that you pray and not look for justice here on earth. Of course, my wife, we both got on the phone, called, wrote emails, and we got another $200. Basically, we got half of what they said they would do. Better than nothing, right? Not just, but at least we tried to do the best that we could. And then the rest, we give it over to God. And I think that's basically the principle I think that we all need, is there is a part that you need to do. You need to call the Ford dealer and say, hey, what happened here? But then there's the other half that you need to just let go of and give it over to God. What are we going to do? Drive all the way to Arizona and get mad at these people, or go to the Ford headquarters, wherever they are, in Detroit or somewhere, and write a letter? I mean, of course you can, but to what end? Sometimes you can go too far with trying to get even, or revenge can be a very poisonous feeling. Let God take care of it. There's a part that you have to say, okay, Lord, here's my complaint, or even calling that person or the dealer or whatever, and say, okay, here's the problem. Here's what I need. Of course, you need to do that. But there's the other half that you need to say, God, I need you to take care of this because it's just out of my hands. I think when we go too far, we know it, and it hurts other people. I think the way you know when you've gone too far, if it's hurting you or it's hurting the people around you. But when you let it go, I would say it feels terrible in the moment. Letting things go or giving God your complaint, it never feels good in the moment because you're not getting that quick benefit of letting them have it or writing that nasty email or texting someone back in anger. You don't get that instant gratification of being right or being heard, which we love here in the U.S., right? We love to be heard and complain. But in the long run, God is glorified. You're less anxious. You're less stressed. You're less apt to say something dumb to your wife, to your family, to your friends. Sometimes the best thing is just to shut your mouth, right? My grandma, she always used to say, if you have nothing good to say, then don't say anything. I mean, that is great Goso advice right there. But how many times have we all, maybe you have, said the wrong thing in anger? Cross the line. Go back. Get yourself behind that line. And then let God take care of it. And then number two is to encourage people. Make sure that when you're mad and you're upset or when things aren't going your way, that you are not discouraging people around you. That you're encouraging them instead. Look at what he says. Again, it says here that they gave it over to God. They went back to work. And then it says here everyone was encouraged because they knew that God had it. Verse 15, when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plans, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. And there's another verse here that I love. It's verse 6. So after the prayer, back at the beginning here, verse 6, he says, do not cover their guilt, let not their sin be blotted, for they have provoked you to anger. So he's just saying, God, you get them. But then look at the second half. So we built the wall. See, you only build when you're happy. Have you ever tried to build something when you're mad? You just can't. It's like in basketball, they say you can't play mad. It's impossible to play mad. And so he says, we built a wall and all the wall was joined together to half its height, meaning they did half the work. They completed the work, but it's better than nothing, right? And then he says, for the people had a mind to work. I want to look up the NIV. Well, actually, you know what? Yeah, let me do a couple of things. Let me show you the NIV because the language there is, it says that they were encouraged. So here it is. It says, we rebuilt the wall for the people who worked with all their hearts. See, they did something with all their heart, it says. Let me look at the original King James, not the original, but just the King James. It says, for the people had a mind to work. Now, let me just see, I want to click here. What is that in the original Hebrew? It says they had a heart. They were comfortable. They were friendly. Their inner parts, their midst, their soul, inside of them, they did things from the heart. The people had a heart to work. And to work is, of course, just to complete things. Asa is the word. So in other words, it just means that they were focused on what's in front of them. They were focused. They had a mind to work. They had a focus to work. Their heart was in the right place. They had a desire and a commitment to work hard and to finish the work. And that only came after Nehemiah pleaded to God to take matters into his own hands and to blot out the sins and the ugliness of these people. But Nehemiah himself didn't go out there and start yelling at them. He didn't go out there himself and start throwing rocks. Now he had everyone hold a bow and an arrow, right? He did prepare his people. He had everyone, at least I think it was half of the people, be on their guard. And so, as I said, this is not about when you're in the middle of opposition against, it could be satanic things, it could be just practical things, it could be both. You can't just simply hide, nor can you be angry and take things and matters into your own hands. You have to do both. You have to take matters into your own hands halfway. But then you have to let God do the rest. But then, as I said, the result of that needs to be that people are encouraged to keep working together. If your words, if your thoughts are dividing people, discouraging people, then that's not right. You need to stop that. And I know what that's like. I know when I get to a certain place in my life or at home with my kids or with my wife or with myself, that it's not good. Is I begin to then tear myself down and think all these horrible things, or I may even hurt other people. What do they say? Hurt people, hurt people. So when you're hurting, when you feel like something isn't right, and you feel upset, or you feel frustrated, or you feel hurt, or you feel alone, what ends up happening? It's like the whole thing, right? The old adage, you walk in, you kick the dog then barks at the squirrel then kills the bugs. It's just a kind of a revolving door. It's a vicious cycle that happens when we act out in anger. The best thing is to protect yourself, take some steps, absolutely, but then let justice belong to the Lord. And then encourage people. Do whatever it takes. Sometimes we don't encourage others out of hate or out of negativity for the people that are against us. Sometimes it's almost like we're taking vengeance, right? Or revenge on the one person or the two people or the 10 people that are against you, but it ends up hurting everyone else. Your family, your wife, your church, your school, your friends, the people in your office. You might be upset at your boss, and so you might want to let him have it, but you end up yelling at everybody on the phone. Let's say you're at a call center or something like that, right? And that's where you have to watch for that, is you have to say, okay, maybe I went too far. You have to say, Lord, help me to just take the load off here. Take a break, take a step back and say, you know what? I'm taking matters too seriously. I'm taking the place of God. I can't do that. You have to say, Lord, help me to let you be God. I'm not God. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't change anyone. And I'm talking to myself because this is exactly what I'm dealing with. And I know that I need to just trust God. And you might be dealing with the same thing. You might be in a place where you're entering the fall and you want to see great things happen. You want to build the walls of your life. You want to restore your marriage. You want to restore your family, your grandkids. Or if you're a younger person, you want to restore your education, your maybe relationship-wise. You want to trust God for your future. And yet, you're upset. And you want to take things matters into your own hands. Surrender it to God. Say, Lord, you are the author and the maker of my faith, not me. I can't change anything. I can't change anyone by being mad at people while I'm driving or being mad at my boss. And I think even deeper than that, acknowledge that what you really need is to know that God is for you, not against you. To acknowledge that perhaps that frustration is something that's missing in your own heart. Maybe you need to know that God loves you, that you're not a failure, that you're not failing at life because you went through a breakup or you lost your job, that you're not a terrible mom because your kids aren't perfect, that you are an amazing woman of God, and that you need to just trust God, do what you can, protect your family, yes, call that dealership and get your refund, but let God do the rest. My prayer for you today is that you will know that God is for you, not against you. That He is with you, that He will strengthen you, He will lift you up, He will pick you up out of the miry clay, He will set your feet upon a rock, and that one day you will see the glory of the Lord in your family, in your life, in your friendships, in your church. He loves you, He's for you, not against you. Thank you so much, guys. I can't wait to see you again. I'll see you tomorrow. Until next time. I can't wait to see you. Adios, amigos!
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.